Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
10:58, hour number two. And we're excited. We're
all right.
Live.
Yeah, let's
go. At Riley House, it's a beautiful facility. I swear, I just want to jump and do a segment rolling around with these shirts that are flying around the top of the building here. I mean,
they're on like a carousel above us. They're not flying around.
They're flying around, and it's flying to me. It's flying to me. I'm Ron the Show Hughley. You know, when you say it twice, it means it. I'm Ron the Show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier, your Steve Serta, doing the hard work and his extra hard because he's got no internet and he's gonna say it multiple times.
Flying blind.
Flying blind.
He doesn't have a cell phone, apparently.
Doesn't have a cell phone either. He is rolling difficult.
Driving this thing at night with no lights.
We're here down here for the Big 12 tournament.
Completely blind.
K-State. You got it? K-State's going to kick this thing off. They'll take over here after us at 1 o'clock. You only get Show and Vern for 3 hours today, and I know many of you are crushed.
Yep.
And the others are doing cartwheels, even though you can't, and it probably looks like an aerial. Sean Salisbury up here in 15 minutes. Vern.
Man, we haven't talked to Sean in a while.
That's right, man.
I'm excited.
I can't wait to, man. He covered Tyrann Mathieu, saw every game he played, so he's up here in 15 minutes. I've been one that have called that's called Andy Reid Andy Reckless, and mine is Reckless Andy shows up when he does the things to Jeremy Maclin, and he does the things to John Dorsey, and he does so many things, just power play moves. But you think that Andy is not the only one being reckless?
Yeah. Yesterday I was upset at the lack of aggressiveness being shown by the Chiefs, most notably Brett Veach, and. And the more I thought about it, the guy actually can be aggressive. I think he was aggressive with Tyrann Mathieu. He could have waited back and seen how it all shaked out. God knows there were enough safeties that he likely could have waited longer and walked away with a quality safety. But the more I thought about it, no, it's not aggressiveness that Brett Veach has shown in his two seasons at the helm of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's aggressive. Too aggressive to where it is reckless, in my opinion. I got no problem with Justin Houston. I got no problem with your decision to get rid of Eric Berry. I respect his ability to say, here is the problem, and now we're going to address it. Let's just look over the past 2 years. Last year he says, all right, our run defense was awful. Now we are going to address it. He's aggressive, but too aggressive when you break off Anthony Hitchens, that kind of a deal to fit in an offense that or fit in a defense that apparently wasn't suited for him. So he identified the problem. He was aggressive about alleviating the problem, but too aggressive to where it borders on recklessness. We look to the offense. Okay, Patrick Mahomes, let's make his first year as easy as possible. Let's make sure we put more weapons around him. I love him identifying that. I like him being aggressive. But it was too aggressive when you break off Sammy Watkins, a contract that makes him one of the five highest paid wide receivers in the NFL. I appreciate the aggressiveness, but I am unnerved by the amount of aggressiveness when it borders on recklessness. The same thing here this season. The defense was the reason why you fell short. The defense needs an overhaul. I'm with you. I appreciate his ability to identify the problem, but I think he's overly aggressive when it borderlines on recklessness. If you want to rebuild the defense, I'm about it. But gutting it as much as he has, Barry Houston, I'm cool with. Bailey, okay. Stevie, fine. The D Ford thing to
that's
me.
The one.
That's what makes it reckless. That's where you're
one.
Going, here's the issue, I want to fix it, but then you do a little bit too much. I love the way that Vahe Gregorian put it in today's Kansas City Star. The defensive purge begs the question if the cure is worse than the disease. If you're identifying a problem but doing too much to alleviate it, it's reckless.
That's especially if you're in the situation that you're in. this is an all, I would think, an all-in Super Bowl mode year. This is what we all said. This is what we thought. We thought this is where the Chiefs were. And listen, as I've said, man, I all the other moves, even the Barry one, I will stand by it. I was one who was never in favor of signing him. I don't think you pay safeties right. That. So the moves of moving on from Houston, which you saved money, Barry, hey, if you're like, man, he's not going to be able to play and we could split this up and save money, I don't have a problem. But you're in a chance where you, yes, I've heard Fesco say this, this defense was 31st in the league. We've seen a lot of people, who cares? I'm with you. They needed to add things. We said they needed to add things. We didn't think they needed to get rid of good football players. Like, I just, for the life of me, I don't know how you can get to a spot where you don't think D Ford's a good football player. And there are many people who are going to text in and 1 year, whatever. Because Chris Jones just had 1 year. Chris Jones is coming in with 2 sacks as a rookie, 6 as a second year person, 15. Chris Jones is a good football player. You don't get rid of him. He showed it last year. He's had, D Ford's had 2 double-digit sack seasons. He's a good football player. And when you're an all-in year right now, I think it is reckless when you're rebuilding to get rid of good football players. Kendall Fuller, I think, is a good football player. No reason to get rid of him. And even if it and you had the perfect scenario. You didn't have to commit long-term. 1 year.
Right.
For
right.
15, and you had it. You had the money. 1 year for $15 million. So, yes, rebuilding the defense and doing something to make the defense better to get up was great. Yes, that's a great mindset. But not getting rid of good football players that you can afford.
We're live from Rally House P&L. Your chance to win tickets and $100 Rally House gift card. The raffle is going on right now, or at least the register box is still open. So come on down to Rally House. We're going to be out here until 1 o'clock when we hand things off to the K-State Radio Network as K-State and TCU meet up on day 2 of the Big 12 tournament. You are all welcome out here at Rally House. Ever since Ron put down that woman and her T-shirt in our first segment, he has really been on his best behavior and has actually been polite to the patrons out here at Rally House.
Shut up. Real quick, from our guy Therese Paler, who we had on yesterday, and I would suggest you go back to the radio.com app or 610sports.com and find that on our on-demand page. He gave really good information. Only person that we had heard at that time who had spoken with D Ford, also check out the column he wrote. He said the Chiefs have expressed interest in former Mizzou star and Cardinals defensive end Marcus Golden, per source. Golden was a former second-round pick. Led the Cardinals in 12.5 sacks in 2016. They really like guys who like to have ACL tears. Tore his ACL in 17 and had 2.5 sacks last season.
M.I.Z.
An all-in year.
I'm waiting for. I thought Serta was going to jump in and really give us that nerdy breakdown.
No, I thought
of
it was
Marcus
too.
Golden.
He's
flying blind back there, though.
You like the move, though, with Marcus Golden, Serta?
I got eyes again. Internet just came back, so I'm just getting filled in on this Marcus Golden news. No, I hate that move a lot.
I think I have
That's
more confidence.
The breakdown you're looking for, Kansas City. Curtis
How did I drop in?
Steven Serta.
Because he's flying blind.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm all about trying to do what the Patriots do and get discount guys, but I don't think Marcus Golden is exactly what we're looking for.
Serta, you have it up. What is – jump in and tell me, what is Marcus Golden's size? Like, I just don't remember him being a big player.
I don't believe he's huge.
Let me
check it really good.
6'3", 260.
Yeah, I was going to say 6'3", right. Sounds right.
5 pounds more than D Ford.
But D Ford was oft injured. So.
And certainly doesn't have the kind of speed that D Ford has.
Or the size to stop the run, because defensive ends, stopping the run is so important to people here in Kansas City.
Man, if you ever wanted a snapshot of Steven Serta,
passing leagues,
it's – blindly guessing. I don't think he's huge. just a complete guess. Generic enough that he can't
Marcus
be wrong.
With that comment.
Zone runs are really taking over the NFL. So, you know,
we got a lot of
K-State really
fans in here at Rally House downtown. A lot of KU fans as well, like my partner here, Ron
Somebody
the Show Hughley.
Set me off on the text line.
Why?
It'll set you off too, so I'm not going to read it.
Well, you can't do that.
Paper, rock, scissors.
Okay.
And if I win,
that's just
I read
one, right?
The rest of the one. Go.
One, two, three, shoot. Yay, Vern with the win.
All right.
All right, what's the text say?
From the 816, this is Patriot.
I won scissors over paper, if you're wondering.
This is Patriot.
We tied on the first one. We put scissors down the first.
Tied on the second one.
Tied on the second one. We both went paper. Yeah. And then on the third, I outthought Joe and went scissors while he went paper because I am just a tick smarter than Ron.
Yep, and I have more hair. from the 816, the Patriots. This is Patriot football, guys. You're advocating for Washington football.
No, no. Washington football is paying like 37-year-olds 3-year deals.
Or Landon Collins, $85
right.
million.
No, I was
when
advocating
not,
for exactly a Patriots deal, a 1-year. Make the guy prove it again in D Ford. That's what I was advocating for. The if you're no good, we're done with you, but we're going to use you and give you no commitment.
And
that is a Patriots move.
And it's not a make you prove it. It was a 1-year deal. We're not paying you 85.
Even if
he got 20 sacks, they weren't going to pay him. It was a one. This is not a Washington maneuver. And stop it. You're not the Patriots. You're not. You, unless you hire Bill Belichick,
right,
then you could start just doing willy-nilly. You're not the Patriots.
Right.
And I hate this thing that the Patriots, man, they just give away people. They never do anything. Think about some of the guys who have played for the Patriots. Randy Moss?
Heard
you think
him.
He wasn't making money? Do you think that Revis wasn't making money in his prime? Tlaib wasn't making money? Gronk is not making money? Good heavens, guys.
The thing is with the Patriots and why I always laugh when people bring them up, I heard Fesco doing this morning.
Oh, I know.
I heard Fesco doing it, saying, you know, the Chiefs and the moves that they're making, it's big boy football, it's Patriot football. I disagree with that, not only because of the Bill Belichick point that you bring up, which is the point, but think about the conversations that you and friends have had of late. Justin Houston going to the Patriots, you're like, oh, man, they're going to get the best out of Justin Houston. Alan Bailey's visiting the New England Patriots. Serta comes in today, and he's like, man, I really think that Alan Bailey would have a career year if he went to New England because Belichick would be able to get the most out of him. Think about if Alan Bailey stayed in Kansas City, what your expectations would be for him. Now put him in a Patriots uniform, and then what are your expectations? They're different players. Justin Houston with the Chiefs, Justin Houston with the Patriots. We all acknowledge that the Patriots make you a tick better because they are better coached than anyone in the history of football. He is the GOAT. No one disputes that despite it doesn't matter who he has on defense.
Specifically on defense. He is.
Regardless of who he has on defense, you know they're going to be formidable come January.
But they do pay people. Stephon Gilmore is one of the highest paid corners in football. Like this scenario of the Patriots don't pay people. They get rid of them. No, they don't. But the Patriots, you're just not them. They also pay good football players, and they also will get rid of players who are past it. Like, it just you can operate like the Patriots or then operate about like the other successful teams. Like the Eagles didn't say, you know what? You know, we didn't win a lot of games with old Fletcher Cox. Let's get rid of him. No. No, they paid him. When they got their quarterback, they paid him, and then they won a Super Bowl. Like, the Rams didn't say 2 years ago before Sean McVay got, you know, man, this Aaron Donald's good, but, yeah. And I'm not saying that D Ford is, but don't say that you don't pay good football players.
Again, live from Rally House at P&L all day up until 1 o'clock when we hand things off to the K-State TCU game right here on your home for Wildcat Athletics, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, Sean Salisbury, I want to pose that question to him, too, about the Patriot waste stuff. Sean Salisbury, he's watched every game that Tyrann Mathieu has played the last couple of years. He's got really good insight. Football in general, Mahomes and everything coming up. Sean Salisbury coming up next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back to Show and Vern.
All right. All right.
Put that away.
No. This is ridiculous.
Been in there for 3 months.
We're bringing Sean Salisbury in on this right now.
He just found him, finally.
Sean Salisbury, he was with us all football season.
Follow him on Twitter, at Sean Unfiltered, the former NFL quarterback. Great to have him back with
best
us.
Best interviews we have on the station. Sean, let me tell you what my partner has done. We are live out here at Rally House, getting ready for the Big 12 tournament. And I was going in my backpack to get some aspirin. And the first thing I look at is a can of Miller Lite that he has snuck into my backpack. How long has this been in here?
At least 3.5 months.
3 months. I'm about to fly next week. Yep. And you have snuck beer in my backpack.
Right.
That's
a funny joke, isn't it, Sean? A nice little prank.
That's a great prank. And how come it's not been drank yet?
I'll drink it right now.
You won't drink it right now. It's been in here for 3 months.
Did you say it's been in that backpack for how long?
3.5 months.
I'm about to fly next week.
I love the prank. Heck, most people can smell beer in the can. They're going to let that beer go for 12 minutes, let alone 3.5 months.
That's a good point.
I don't know
how
what
you guys doing, man.
Doing great,
we're
man.
Good. We're good. I do want to get to the Tyrann Mathews thing because I was through the roof when I heard that, and then my knees were clipped underneath me after D4 got traded. But I do want to get to him first. But a lot of things that people around here and fans are going with is, man, we really love what the Chiefs are doing, man. They're doing Patriot stuff. This looks like the New England Patriot model of how you play free agency. They're not going after people, and they're getting picks, and they're not paying. And here's my thing. The Patriots are the greatest thing I've ever seen, I almost would argue, in the history of sports. They're everything, how they've been able to sustain this. And Belichick and Brady are obviously the two things at the top. They have great ownership as well. But it is hard for me for people to go with the adage of let's do what the Patriots do, because it is – who can do that? You don't have Bill Belichick. And to me, to get rid of good football players that you can afford when you're in an all-in Super Bowl year, that doesn't make sense to me. And I'm just curious on your thoughts of the whole Patriot way thing that people and fans try to push on when you don't have Bill Belichick.
Well, I agree with you. I'm a couple things on this. One is, if it was easy to do the Patriot way, for the last 20 years, everybody'd be doing it. There's two common themes. There's a couple common denominators here that not everybody has. Sometimes you have a great quarterback, and sometimes you have a great coach, but rarely do you have the very best of both on the same franchise with an owner who trusts them. As I've always said, ownership, front office, coach, quarterback, continuity. When you have that, you will win championships in any sport. You're going to have it. I'm just telling you. If you go to the NBA, San Antonio Spurs, ownership, front office, coach, the superstar, whether it was David Robinson, whether it was Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, you can go right on down. And the Patriots are, and it's not kind of, the Patriots are the measuring stick or the gold standard of organizations, and it's the best dynasty in sports, period, in the modern times, not named the Celtics when they won 11 straight. UCLA was pretty good, too, when Wooden was there and Lou Alcindor. But Andy's a hell of a coach. Patrick Mahomes has proven that he's going to be a special player and already is. But to try and do it the exact way, you've got to have every single part similar. Now, I understand you try. We all look, it's like defenses. You look at it, or it's like what we're seeing in the NFL. These young coaches coming in, the Sean McVays, the Matt Nagy's, and we're trying to do it that way. We copy everything. So people want to copy the Patriots. Not very many have done it. Well, none have. They've got pieces of it. So for the Chiefs, I get why they're doing it. But to me, I'm trying to look at it, and I'm just looking from an outsider, guys. You guys are there. How has their defense gotten better so far? No Justin Houston, no D Ford, no Eric Berry, Tyrann Mathieu. So you're telling me if a team that, honestly, and you guys know how I feel about the Kansas City Chiefs and how I feel about Andy Reid and the explosiveness of this team. So if somebody can honestly tell me that, now maybe Patrick can carry it again. I mean, they can do it. It's tough to do every year after year after year. The Patriots have been able to do it. They'll just let guys walk. Flowers gone. I mean, they don't care. Brown gone. And they're going to win the AFC East. But tell me how the Chiefs' defense, because if the Chiefs' defense gets better, the Chiefs got to be, if it's not the one or the two seed, in my mind going into the season, as a Super Bowl favorite. How'd they get better so far this offseason defensively? How have the Kansas City Chiefs gotten better? I'm trying to figure it out, but I haven't. You lost three really good players, and you gained one good player. And Tyrann Mathieu can tackle, not a great cover guy, but he's energy, great locker room guy. Bummer for the Texans to lose him. I thought maybe at 14 mil, they just didn't think they could afford it. But how did Kansas City, you want to do it that way, I get it. But you got to make sure the draft picks hit, everything's got to be on point. But how did the Kansas City Chiefs defense get better the last month? You guys tell me, because to be honest with you, I think their defense today is worse than it was a week and a half ago.
They improved at coordinator. They brought in Honey Badger. But overall, yes, this defense has taken a step backward because currently, prior to the draft and whatever else they might do, I don't even know who, as far as an impact player, is even available anymore in free agency. No, they've taken a step back defensively. Sean, what it appears like they're doing, I used to cover the Packers. And after they won that Super Bowl, they started saying, it's all on you, Aaron. We're only going to draft and develop. Yep. We're not going to sign anyone. But that was after they won a ring. Ron and I, the past 2 days, have been wondering why the Chiefs are acting like they won the Super Bowl last year and now Pat can do it all. They haven't won anything yet, and they're already giving him the Aaron Rodgers five-year-in, you're the MVP kind of treatment, which is putting a soon-to-be 24-year-old in a tough spot.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was discussing this on my show this week and after watching what the Cleveland Browns or even the Jets have done and what the Texans haven't done for Deshaun Watson. And this is an excellent point by you. I mean, a great point, because I think about Aaron, and I said this 2 days ago. I said, this can't be what the Green Bay Packers have always done in the offseason, where, hey, we got Aaron. It's like the Mikey and the Life cereal commercial. Don't worry about anything. We don't need to go get players. Aaron will just bail us out. He's right. A great player. And it may be a little premature to put Patrick in Aaron's category yet. Patrick's a special player. Aaron's done it longer, and I think we all understand that. I don't think anybody can argue that. Not only just the distance, but you know, Patrick would have to have a couple more seasons for us to say, okay. And you're right, they didn't win a Super Bowl, but they were damn close, and they're really good. So I do get how the fans feel about that, or the front office of the organization. But think about it, guys. Why do you want to carry that burden? Aaron's won one. Talk about a special player, one of the best of all time. You think, man, he should have won more. Well, right. Aaron hasn't had a whole lot of help. They don't go out and grab a whole lot of help. Think about you guys right now. We're putting a lot of burden on Pat Stanis. If we give up 35 this year, 2 years from now will be better. Can you give us 41 each week? I know we don't want you to ask after you threw 50 touchdowns. Can you throw 70? And I don't think it's right. Not many times can you go to a guy like Brady for 19 years, 18 years and say, hey, dude, can you find a way to take every guy that we've never heard of and get him 80 catches? No, that just doesn't happen. That's why he's the most unique player and the best player we've ever had in football, and the best quarterback is Tom Brady. But take a look at what the Texans haven't done. Same thing they're bitching about and complaining about here. You got a great quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and we're looking around saying, hey, will Fuller be healthy? We know you got Hopkins. You could have got the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes. You got a decent back in Lamar Miller. What are we doing? Well, what are you doing? You got rid of two DBs and replaced them with two DBs and lost Tyrann Mathieu as part of it. Take a look at the Jets, though. Darnold, going to be a great player. What have they done? Go out and get Le'Veon Bell. Go out and get C.J. Mosley. Go out and get Crowder. And now we're starting to build something. Against them, we got to give a great player, which we perceive going to be a great player, Darnold, help. Look at the Browns. Okay, think about their last 18 months. And your guy, John Dorsey, who helped build Kansas City, doing a great job there. Think what they've done. Took Kareem Hunt and decided to get him, drafted Myles Garrett and that group, David Njoku, then decided the next year to go get Baker Mayfield, the quarterback. And then now they've decided, well, let's go get Beckham. We're not done. We got Jarvis Landry in an offseason as well. Put those two together. Oh, we drafted Nick Chubb. You start to lay, then they go get two defensive, you know, they got Vernon, and they got their up front. They've improved their front seven. So instead of saying, well, we got the guy who broke the all-time rookie touchdown pass record in Baker Mayfield, let's build around him. Let's not only give a great player, let's not make a great player do it all, let's give him some great players. So I don't subscribe to the, hey, we got Patrick, man. You know, what happens if Patrick Mahomes turns an ankle and is out for 4 weeks in September?
That's a wrap.
Good. Yeah. But what happens? Oh, man, that philosophy in the offseason didn't quite work. I trust Andy. I trust the Chiefs. But I can tell you this. If they don't get better on defense, they won't win the Super Bowl next year. I'm just telling you. They can't. That's too much. The chances of Patrick going out and throwing 50 touchdowns again, guys, and having that same season, he can have close. But to have everything going like that, that's difficult to do. That's why we've never had anybody go back-to-back seasons, I don't think, with 50 touchdowns. So it's a great burden to carry, and I think it's a little bit too much right now, to be honest with you.
That's Sean Salisbury. Follow him at Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. Great as always. Thank you. Thank you for jumping on with us in the off season, Sean.
Well, I appreciate it. Go Chiefs and enjoy that Big 12 tournament, guys. Wish I was there.
Yes, sir.
Sean Salisbury, appreciate it again. Coming up next here in about 2 minutes. That's not true. There is one deal that happened yesterday that it's a small deal, but I think it can best explain my issues with the Chiefs' strategy thus far in the offseason.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back in here live. Many thanks to Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback. He was great and very honest and spoke. The chances of Pat throwing for 50 touchdowns like that and continue to ask the question of how did they get better, which was responded on the text line with, Jesus, trust in Veach.
I trusted in Veach last year.
Well, I didn't.
Oh, I did. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what
he
can do.
Well, I didn't say I didn't trust him. I didn't trust him. And then he did that. He drafted.
I'm not as skeptical as you. I wanted to believe in him last year.
Okay.
You said we were going to address the run defense and we're going to replace Marcus Peters. And you were just as porous, if not worse, last year defensively. So I no longer am giving him the benefit of that doubt.
I think, you know, people have been really on us, and especially me, about my feelings on what the Chiefs are doing. We're saying, you want to do the Patriot way thing. Like, you guys just want them to sign crazy players, as someone said, the Washington R's way. And I think Sean was just talking about it, about, like, you know, the Texans aren't getting enough they believe around him. And then he started to speak about what the Browns are doing with Baker and what the Jets are doing with their young quarterback. This right here could maybe sum up my frustration and just disappointment with the Chiefs' strategy thus far. It's a really minor deal, right? And I know Serta's going to lose his mind here in a second, so I'm sure he's going to hone himself in with this player because this is one of his sports horny ones. Tevin Coleman yesterday.
Oh, he loves Tevin Coleman.
Former running back for the Falcons. Boy, he just shot through that, man. Good heavens. Who did he sign with a 2-year deal? $10 million.
49ers, who already the have Niners, a loaded backfield.
The Niners signed Tevin Campbell. He's a really good
Tevin Coleman.
What did I say? Tevin Campbell. I'm sorry, man.
Tevin I was going to slide because it was funny.
Every time. Tevin Campbell, that's easy, man. I would have been calling that kid that all that. You remember that episode
when
he blew in Ashley's ears?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Come on, y'all out there, Fresh Prince. Y'all remember that episode when he blew in her ear? I tried to add that to my arsenal. Mm-hmm. That didn't work as well.
But
he blew as hard as hell in her ear, didn't he?
Sure
blew her wax right out. But they signed Tevin Coleman.
That's right.
To a 2-year, $10 million deal. And this right here, that little signing, that's not a lot of money or anything. But, Serta, how much better would you say he is than Carlos Hyde?
I mean, this is unfair.
I don't believe Tevin Coleman is a star running back, but he's significantly more talented than Carlos Hyde.
All right. It's actually a 2-year, $8.5 million contract where only 5.8 of it is guaranteed. That's reported by
It's nothing. They're essentially paying him nothing in football.
And so the Chiefs paid Carlos Hyde on a 1-year deal about $2 million. And this is the thing with me. So when you have a quarterback in the way that the Jets have a young quarterback, in the way that the Browns have a young quarterback, in the way that the Texans have a young quarterback. In that time frame when you're not paying them big money, and the Chiefs will have to pay their quarterback the top salary in the league, when you're not paying them big money, that is the time frame where you don't have to do bargain stuff, right? So Carlos Hyde at 1 year, $2 million, that's like some bargain stuff. In this time frame before you pay Pat, those are the times where you could say, all right, Carlos Hyde is maybe a guy that's down here. I might not be able to go and feel comfortable to reach for Le'Veon, but I can reach for a guy that's at least a level underneath. And a Tevin Coleman is a guy that you could reach for that just cost a bit more money, but you don't have to pinch pennies at this point yet because your quarterback's not making nothing. This Carlos Hyde move, this is a move you make when Pat's making $200 million. I saw two, Tevin Coleman, God, I almost called him that again, and Mark Ingram, 3 years, under $10 million guaranteed. Like, those guys are, I think far better running backs, and especially when you add what they could do in Andy's system, like more explosive than Carlos Hyde is. This is the time. That 2 years would have fallen right to the time frame before you have to pay Pat. These are the times that you don't have to just go for the bargain low end. You can step up because in 2 years, you're going to have to do things like this. You're going to have to get lower level players and hope they work before you can go and reach for higher level players. And that's the part that frustrates me about the strategy they're taking. They're acting as if almost Pat's already got paid.
What do you think of this analogy? Like, I always tell my fiance, if we're going to go on a cool trip, now's the time to do it.
Before these kids come through?
Once these kids come along, we can't do that.
Miss Show said to me, I kind of want to hold off on having kids. If I want to just buy a full Gucci suit, I want to just be able to do that.
Right.
Swear to God, she said that.
Like, recently? Because,
No, before
you guys got two kids.
Before we had kids. Before we had kids, she would be like, if I just want to buy a full Gucci suit, I want to be able to just go out and just buy a full Gucci suit. Can't do it with them rascals. Much of them diapers cost.
Protein Ousie with the purpose. Text line 69306. Your dream is to own a full Gucci suit?
I don't believe that whatsoever. I've seen some of your outfits on Facebook.
If it's your dream, what color's the suit?
Let's hear that.
Turquoise.
Didn't even stop eating to answer the question.
I just put the granola in the mouth.
From the 417, I hope Ron's wife deals with the money. I'm off on this?
No, I think it makes sense. Again, $2.5 million for Carlos Hyde, 5.85 for Tevin Coleman when Tevin Coleman is a obviously superior running back. Now is the time to take that vacation. Now's the time to spend your money because you don't got to spend it on these kids. You don't have to pay Pat yet. You don't need to pinch pennies right now, which, again,
not to mention when you know you're about to let go of D Ford and Eric Berry to clear up more.
I don't understand much with this money that so many fans are about. So many on the other side that were pro-trading D Ford, one of the main reasons was, well, now Brad Veach has $15.4 million to play with. And now you cut Eric Berry, which I was fine with. I thought you had to do. But that saves you about $9.5 million. So you add it up. We're talking about $25 million that has come off the books in the past 2 days. We'll say that Justin Houston and Tyrann Mathieu, they offset one another.
Amen.
But to me, if you knew you were going to cut Eric Berry, what was the need to trade D Ford? What are you going to do? Maybe I asked this yesterday. Maybe I'm harping on it too much, Ron. But what are you going to do with this $25 million? Look at the available free agents. Are you trading for Khalil Mack? Are you going to bring in Aaron Donald? Unless you're bringing in a superstar of the league, which, you know, that would knock my socks off. You do something like that, maybe we could have a different discussion. But everything that Brett Veach has done would lead me to believe that he's not going to go the route of trading for a superstar. So if you're not bringing in someone that's going to command mega bucks, what are you doing with this money? Once you cut Eric Berry, man, you could have cut Eric Berry, saved the $9.5 million, paid Dee Ford, and you still have plenty of cash to go out there and sign your draft picks and sign a free agent or two. If we're all in agreement that Barry was going to be gone, well, then what did I need that $15 million for when I got nearly 10 opening up the next day with Eric Berry being
in
released?
In year. And then the timing of when you did it with what's available left. Now, if the bank is, boy, we're about to go crazy in this draft and try to do what the Colts did and get draft two guys that are first-team All-Pros, all righty. But here is what's left. This is from the very attractive Field Yates. Cornerback Ronald Darby, tight end Jared Cook, Tevin Coleman's gone, outside linebacker Justin Houston, and I swear before God, if the Chiefs sign
he's
Justin
number three,
Houston,
he's the third best available free agent.
Ziggy on the Lions, Golden Tate, Marcus Golden's on this list, racked up 2.5 sacks last year. The kicker that Serta is in love with.
Next, I'm not talking about a kicker.
For the Patriots, Ndamukong Suh and K.J. Wright.
He's
KJ
a baller.
Wright's gone.
KJ Wright's back to Seattle. I'm just like, as Sean said, how do they get better? And then with this money, if you're all in this year, how with what's left out here, where are you turning to get better?
Those names you just mentioned, if you kept Dee Ford and released Eric Berry, you could pay for one of, if not two of those players with that $10 million that opens up with Eric Berry.
Or manipulate their money and how much they will get in the first year or the second.
Protein Housey with a purpose. Text line 69306 from listener number 79. I know Vern won't tell you, Ron, but great dismount on the interview with Sean Salisbury.
He's right.
That was a very nice end of the interview. You normally struggle in that, but you did very well ending the conversation with Sean Salisbury. Great job, buddy.
Oh, we're hearing it now. Why are you guys ignoring the fact that Ford didn't want to be here? From the text line, listener number 13.
But what did say? I wasn't listening to you. Say it again.
From the text line, 816, why are you guys now ignoring the fact that Ford did not want to be here? Listener 13.
Yeah. If you wouldn't have shown up at the beginning of the show, I was about to go in on what Fesco and Kling were talking about, because it seems like they're now reading what he said to Therese Paylor and trying to decipher that Dee Ford didn't want to be here in Kansas City. Guys, that never happened. Read the article by Therese. Dee Ford didn't say anything cross about Kansas City nor the organization. It's not that he wanted out. He wanted to feel appreciated, and San Francisco made him feel appreciated.
All right, one of our listeners, listener number 32 to be specific, had a question for me, and I want to help him out. I want to help him out, help him understand this, and Vern apparently wants to name this segment something.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Live at Rally House here in Power and Light. Come on out, hang out with us, and there's all kinds of. Are you all right?
I just want to say something unplanned, and I feel. Can I say something without you acting like it's me trying to make you angry? Ron, will you at least hear me out? Look away.
Just say it.
Is he so mad about the backpack beers?
I just wanted to get off. There's so many things from any team that you support in the Big 12. Come on out, hang out with us, and get you some things. Come on now.
What?
You knew that wouldn't work it.
Stop talking to people
you
like
that.
You knew
that wouldn't work it.
Ron is just judging people's outfits. Okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
Again, Rally House.
I know I'm not alone.
Downtown, K-State, TCU. Our coverage starts at 1 o'clock right here on your home for Wildcat Athletics, 610 Sports Radio. Ron, you have spent a majority of this college basketball season going on and on about the streak and how you're not really very concerned with the streak. You're more focused on the NCAA tournament. And I've believed you. I have believed you from the first day you said that up until about 45 minutes ago. What? But the way you are acting as a diehard, the biggest Kansas fan I know, the way you are speaking to these K-State fans, because I know you don't look at them as a rival, right? You don't hate K-State. I believe that. I don't know what else to make of the way that you're treating some of these K-State fans that are coming through Rally House. Every one of them, you got something. You happy with how that jersey turned
that
out?
Color.
You happy with that
color?
We're
having some fun.
You
we're
haven't said anything cross to a single person wearing a Kansas T-shirt, sweatshirt,
nice sweater,
anything that has the Jayhawks on it. You are very polite and respectful.
I've talked trash to the Iowa State people. I was not.
Again, you're it just seems like had you won the Big 12, I feel like had you won the Big 12, you wouldn't be trashing people that are wearing something other than that bird on their shirts.
It's fun nature. That's not trashing.
That woman, if you're just joining us,
that woman,
first segment of the show, Ron goes, come on down here to Rally House like this woman in the ugly K-State shirt. And she got so angry, she stormed out of Rally House. She threw a few barbs at you for not winning the conference. I'm just putting it out there. For the first time all year, I don't believe you when you say that the streak didn't matter because, boy, oh, boy, are you projecting your anger on a lot of people out here.
It's anger.
Disappointment, whatever you want to call it, however you feel towards Bill, you're projecting it on all of these champion K-State fans that are walking through Rally House. Congratulations on the Big 12 title, K-State.
You're sad, and I'm not going to let you sucker me in. It doesn't bother me, and I'm not being mean, and it's not out of – it's fun-natured. And you can do what you want to do. I know what you're trying to do, and I won't succumb to it. Asshat. Someone just texted in about me. Well, sir.
See, now look how angry you are. Look at you. You got your knee bouncing.
I want to tell you.
You got your leg bouncing.
I want to tell you from the 913. You want to call Ron an asshat? You want to know what?
There's kids in here.
Does he still have the shirt buttoned all the way to the top again today?
He sure does. You want to know what?
He sure
does. Ma'am, I love you. And I thank you so much for joining us.
Aww.
And I'd like to give you a hug. Hell, be honest with you, I'd like to buy you a beer. I won't, but I'd like to buy you a beer. And thank you so much for joining us here.
Oh, that was nice.
I had a listener hit me up with this, and he said to me, he posed a question, listener number 32, about he had looked at the numbers, at the sack numbers, and he's saying, how big of a deal is sacks? Not trying to be like, an ass, but really, trying to get an explanation. He sent it to myself, Seth Kaiser, of The Athletic, and I want to help him out here. Because he was like, man, look at the Patriots and look at the Rams. The Rams were like 15th in the league, and sacks, the Patriots are like down at 31. Obviously, this is a rule on this show. When it becomes with the Patriots, they don't count. They don't count at all. They were 31st, but if you watch their playoff run and their three games against the Chargers, Chiefs, and Rams, the number one thing that they did was pressure the quarterback in a way that they hadn't done all year. Phillip said he had never seen that on tape, any of those pressures. You remember Eric Fisher getting his ass kicked. I remember the last play of the first half was a fumble force because Eric just got beat down. Van Noy was nuts. Jared Goff couldn't step back and throw the ball without getting hit. You know, pressure is still important in a major way. I liken it like to someone you can remember. In basketball, you got to have a star. Now, there are some lone anomalies, but you got to have a star. Detroit, the Pistons, they're the last team that I could really remember winning a championship without having a real big star. Some people might argue Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace might get into the Hall of Fame because the Hall of Fame is weird. But they didn't have a star.
Sure.
And just because that happened once doesn't mean, like,
let's we do no it longer this way. Need a star.
Let's do it this way. The Denver Nuggets, they don't have a shot. They don't have a real star. They don't have a shot this year. They may be the one or two seed. It takes a star, and you know that. Just like in football, maybe the two Super Bowl teams during the regular season were 15th. One of them had the best pass rusher in the league in Aaron Donald, who had the most sacks, and the defensive player of the year, but whatever. But just because, you know, the top teams in the NFL that led them in sacks weren't great defensively, and it doesn't mean that it is not important. There was an anomaly. And the Patriots, like I said, don't count, but sacks are still, as Serta would say, wildly important.
And that has been the latest edition of Conveniently Stupid with Ron the Show Hughley. That's what you're describing. If anyone's going to stand there and say that sacks don't matter, that pressures don't matter, well, then you're being conveniently stupid. Then you're searching for something, and look, I respect finding stuff that fits your narrative, but that's what you're doing. I'm not looking at... I'm not diving into that specific look. Coming from the world of baseball, you can find a stat to satisfy any point that you're trying to make. But, man, you can miss me with pressures, getting in a quarterback's face. The only way you beat the New England Patriots is by getting in Tom Brady's face. Take out Bill Belichick. Look at the Super Bowl champions, and they all pressure the quarterback. That defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles a couple of years ago was the best in football. That defense from the Denver Broncos that beat the Carolina Panthers, that's one of the greatest defenses that we've ever seen statistically. The Seattle Seahawks could pressure a quarterback and cover quite well in the secondary. We could go on and on. The Giants that beat the Patriots by pressuring the quarterback. Now, if you want to focus solely on sacks, sure, that's not the be-all, end-all, but you must pressure the quarterback in a pass-happy league, and if you don't do that, you have no chance of winning. Quickly, Jay Binkley from Bink at Night, he tweeted out that he is hearing the Ronald Darby to Kansas City deal is close, and it could be done today. Jay Binkley hearing that Ronald Darby to the Chiefs is close and could be done today.
Interesting. I like Ronald Darby, especially when he was in Philly 2 years ago. Young, but he did tear his ACL in week 10. And he's only about 4 months into his recovery, and that generally could take a while, and we'll see how he is.
He's never played 16 games.
Yeah, if we do sign him. Coming up, I have a bold thought, Vern, on Eric Berry. And I'm sure there are going to be many who disagree with me, but I stand by that thought.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.